Okay, good evening, everybody. Rafrish asked that I not do an introduction, so just very, very quick word of Hakaras HaTov. Maybe a slight word of introduction also. Baruch Hashem, my wife and I are Zocha to have two sons who've learned in Shalavim, and one that's going Be'ezrus Hashem to Shalavim in very short order, in several weeks from now. And Daniel pointed out to me that when Yonah was in Shalavim, there was a guy there, Zach Frisch. And then when Yisrael was in Shalavim, there was a guy there, Rav Zach Frisch. And now that Daniel's going to Shalavim, there's Refresh in Shalavim. So there's the progression of Refresh's Razak's influence and hashpa on the Bnei HaYeshiva is very evident in that progression within the Leibowitz family, and you see it Baruch Hashem in the relationships that he has here with so many of the Shalavim guys that are here in Camp Kaylee. And it's so great that he's able to reconnect over the course of the summer. But I really would just want to give Hakaras HaTov because to schlep from Camp Masora to Camp Kaylee is not pashut. At night, in the rain, it's mamish dangerous. Like, it's really not stam. You know how to get the directions to Masora? You go to the end of the world and you make a left, something like that, right? So it's really, really not pashut. And I just want to thank him for making the effort to be here this evening, to connect with Talmidim, and to be able to share his Torah with us.
Okay, if we could all, I don't know if everyone has a gisha, but if we could all have a chumash would be helpful. Chumash would be helpful. That's okay. Yeah, Bamidbar. Matos Mate. Okay. First of all, thank you, Rabbi Leibowitz. Thank you. Thank you so much. First of all, on a personal level, before we get to even what you do for the Talmidim here, on a personal level, I've grown immensely from your shiurim, from the Torah that I continue to listen to up until today, and just a lot of hakaras HaTov for everything that you do for Am Yisrael. Ashreichem, guys, I think Be'erech, most of the guys here, I've seen, or if I don't know, I've definitely seen around. Looking forward to getting to know those of you that I don't know yet. And Ashreichem, I think in camp, especially in this sort of setting, so I came here from Camp Masora, and there I have an interesting sort of job there, balancing all of the different mostos, as we would call them, the different kolels that exist there, the Kobi kolel and the Rav Goldwicht kolel, and then the kolel of Amcha Beis Yisrael. I think there's two kohos of hashpa in this world. There's the hashpa, which I like to, which the mashal that I give is the hashpa of a havdalah cup, which you fill up, and mimela all of the wine pours out. And that's the hashpa that you guys are having here in the kolel. Your mamish sitting yomam balayla and learning, and it's bursting mamish out of these doors. I mean, it's Hashem, you guys, archivim makomo aleich, your wall should expand. It's Hashem, you should have more than 22 beds next year. And just this great makom Torah, I think there's more than 22 guys here. But Hashem, but that's the bechina of what a lot of your hashpa is here is by just being marbitz Torah, the hashpa that you can have on these kids. Is immense. There's a different kind of hashpa, and that's the hashpa which I like to call not only the pouring over of the wine, but it's actually going around and pouring l'chaims. And from what I understand, there's a lot of that as well going on here. Whether it's Thursday nights, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Rabbi Zelkowitz giving a chinuch group, and who else is this? another. Caleb and the whole chevra, whoever's giving the l'chaim, so that's also an amazing amazing hashpa, and ashreichem. So when I was really until this afternoon, I wasn't sure which I was going to speak about. I feel a little bit funny speaking in the presence of Rav Leibowitz, and even that Rav Rosner isn't here. I feel his presence here, and it's a big schuss. So when I was thinking about what I should speak about, I understand that you guys are learning about Birkos Kohanim, learning the sugyas and sota, I understand that today is Israel Day in camp. I saw the falafel that they served, and that looked very, very scrumptious. It reminded me of my days of in the Chadar Ochel in Tel Aviv. So what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to learn a little bit of the parsha, try to connect it a little bit to the falafel balls of Eretz Yisrael, and also try to connect it somehow to Birkas Kohanim. So thank you, Jacob Becker, for telling me about what you guys are learning, and Bechlal, just the connection. Jacob, everyone should know, is a big mevakesh. He's going to kill me. I'm embarrassing him. He calls in for the Sfas Emes Shir. That's basically a chavrusa between the two of us that we continue throughout the summer. So Ashrecha, thank you, and thank you all. So we're gonna skip. We're gonna move a little bit. In Parashas Matas Masay, we see the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. So let's move a little bit to the end of Parshas Matos, Perek Lamed Beis. So there's a wild story over here, and the reason why I chose to speak about this story is Bechal, because we're in the 3 weeks, and the 3 weeks we know is a time of contemplation. Bechal, trying to think about our kesher to Chorban Habayis, and as a product of Chorban Habayis, Chorban and Golos of Eretz Yisrael. And I think that this week's parsha really is the beginning, to a certain extent, of that Chorban even before the Beis HaMikdash was built. So let's learn a little bit together this parsha. We'll try to speak it out a little bit, and we'll try to come away with one or two different ideas. So the Torah says, "Umikne Rav Hayel Avnei Ruvain Avnei Gad Atzum Meod Vayiru Es Eretz Yezer Ves Eretz Gilad Vinei Amakom Makom Mikne." So they look, and they're on Eber HaYarden, they're on the other side of the Yarden, and they come around, and they have all this flock, they have all this sheep, they have all this cattle. And they see that this place on Eber HaYarden, it's a good place, it's very pastoral, there's a lot of grass, this is good, and we have a lot of animals, so we should stay. V'yavo b'nei Gad b'nei Ruvain v'yomer el Moshe v'el Elazar HaKoin v'el Nisiyari Dalei Mor. So they say the following. Ataros v'divon v'yazer v'nimra v'cheshbon v'lela u'shvavam v'nevo u'bon ha'aretz asher yikad v'nai lifnei Adas Yisrael eretz miknehi u'lavdecha mikneh. A very simple equation. This place is good for mikneh, and we have a lot of mikneh. V'yomru matzanu chen beinecha yutanes ha'aretz hazos lavadecha la'achuza al tavirinu es ha'yardin. And if we could request, so let's just let us stay here. Let us stay here, but not only let us stay here, it says, Al tavirenu es hayarden. Right? It's not only the positive of letting us stay here, but it's also the negative of, we don't want to go on to the other side of the yarden. Now, the equation makes sense, meaning they have a lot of cattle, they have a lot of sheep, they need a lot of grass. Maybe it's even Tsar Balei Chaim to bring them to a place that they're not going to be able to feed their animals. It's a good cheshbon. Moshe Rabbeinu, his reaction just shows us how grave and how big of a mistake Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain were making. Moshe Rabbeinu loses it. Vayomer Moshe l'Bnei Gad v'l'Bnei Ruvain, ha'cheichem yavo l'melchama v'atem teishvu po. What are you doing? Your brothers are going to go into the army, and you're going to stay here. V'lama saniu nislev bnei Yisrael ma'avores el ha'aretz asher nasan lohem Adonai. Why are you scaring Am Yisrael? Why are you scaring Am Yisrael? By you saying that you want to stay here, you're scaring everyone. Ko'asu avoseichem b'sholchiyosam mikadesh barnei l'ir'os es ha'aretz. You know the reason that we stayed in the Midbar for 40 years? It was because of your fathers. They did the same thing. We sent shluchim. We sent those meraglim. V'alu ad nachal eshkol ve'iru es ha'aretz ve'aniu eslev bnei Yisrael v'el tivo el ha'aretz asher nasan lohem Adonai. And they did this. They had this whole mahalach. They said, no, we can't go. It's too much. And they scared Am Yisrael. Ve'icharaf Adonai b'yom ahu v'yishavah limor. Im yiru anashim ha'olim v'mitzrayim ben 20 shana v'malo es adamah asher nishbati la'avram li'yitzchak li'yakov kilo malu acharai. So they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Bilti Kalev ben Yefune HaKnizi ve Yoshua ben Nun kimlu achare Adonai. Ve'ichar af Adonai b'Yisrael ve'yina'im b'midbar ba'yim shana atom ko ador ha'oseh hara b'yini Adonai. V'hinei. And now, Moshe Rabbeinu, although this isn't the place where the Mefarshim speak about Moshe's anger, that's in a few parshiyos ago, by Mei Meriva, but the Lashon over here is almost even stronger. V'hinei. Kamtem tachas avoseichem tarbus anashim chatoyim. And what have you done? You stood in the place of your forefathers and you've inherited what? The culture of anashim chatoyim, of sinful people. Lisfos od al charon af adonai el Yisrael ki teshuvu me'acharav v'yasav od lanicho b'midbar v'shichatem l'chol ha'am hazeh. So between the bakasha, between the request of Negar and Bnei Reuven, listen, we don't have, you know, like we just need a little bit of grass for the cattle. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes back and he says, "What are you doing? You're like the Meraglim. You're scaring Am Yisrael. What's going on over here? What is Moshe so bothered by? Why is Moshe so bothered?" Before we answer that question, I just want to see the back and forth that we have. So. Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven come and they say, no, you didn't get it. You misunderstood. Vayikshu alav vayomru. Gidros tzon nivneh lemikneinu po varim letafenu. Don't worry, we're gonna build some stuff for our families and for our animals here. Va'anachnu nechaletz chushim lefnei bnei Yisrael ad asher heviyonu mel makomam vayashav tafenu ba'arei ha'mifzar mipnei yoshvei ha'aretz. Don't worry, we're going to be the chalutzim. We'll be Sayeret Matkal. We'll be the SEALs Team 6. We'll come in. We'll build for our families here, for our animals. And then we'll go and we'll be at the forefront of the battle. We're not here to scare anyone. Lo neshuvel batinu ad hisnachel b'nei Yisrael ish nachlaso. And we know that this process took 14 years. 7 years of the kibush, 7 years of the nachlaso. So they were committed to not leaving their brothers behind, not leaving that responsibility on them. So they say, Moshe Rabbeinu, calm down, it's all good. But our Nachla is going to be here. So once again, Chazara. They say, we need Miknerav. We have a lot of animals, we have a lot of cattle. We need grass, we need this pasture. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're the Meraglim. What's wrong with you? No, Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not the Meraglim. We're actually going to come. We'll take care of everything. Don't worry. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say back? Vayomer alehem Moshe, im ta'asunes hadavar hazeh, if you guys will go ahead and really do this plan, im techaltzu lifnei Adonai lemelchama, and you're really going to go and you're going to serve in the army, and you'll be at the front lines, and you'll finish off all the wars, you'll finish off all the battles, and the land is going to be conquered before Hashem, and now this last pasuk is very zedoresh biur. This pasuk is not so clear. Now this line over here, once again, I said Moshe Rabbeinu got angry by Mei Meriva. Now we already pointed out a line that Moshe Rabbeinu sounds so angry. Tarbus anashim chatoyim. Who are you? What kind of culture have you created for yourself that you're asking such a thing? And now Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, you know what? You're going to come. You're going to fulfill your duty of protecting your brothers and sisters. Okay, when you finish that, v'hayisem nikiim. What does that mean, v'hayisem nikiim? You're going to be clean. You're going to have a clean slate. Now, that could be interpreted in one of two ways, I think. V'hayisem nikiim means that you're a yotze zayin. You're a yotze, you're chiyuv of defending your brothers and sisters. But v'hayisem nikiim could also mean, yeah, you were Yotze Zayin, meaning you checked off the box. But now, Vayisem Nikim, now you're going to be clean, you're going to be fit. You're not going to be with Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is going to be in Eretz Yisrael, Vayisem Nikim. And we really see later on in Sefer Yehoshua and Sefer Shoftim that the people on Ebrei Yarden, they had a lot of problems. The Gemara in Makos tells us that the reason why they needed more Ari Miklat also in this week's parsha is because Shchichei Rotzchim, There's a lot of people, they had some immoral, they had problems. They had some problems. Okay. Vayisa nikim Hashem v'Yisrael vayitza. Now, the end of the pasuk is a little bit, doesn't really go with this. It says, Vayisa aretz hazos lachem ha'achuzah lefnei Adonai. But at the end of the day, this land is going to be a nachla, and it's going to be a nachla lefnei Hashem. V'in lo tasun kein hinei chatasim la'adonai u'du'u chateschem asher timtza eschem. And if not, you should know that this is a big chet. But now Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is going to bring us to our first nekuda, Moshe Rabbeinu changes the lashon a little bit. What is their request? Their request is, Gidros tzon nivne l'miknenu po, v'arim l'tafenu. And Rashi points out that if we look at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's lashon, it says, Benu lachem arim l'tafchem, u'gderos l'tzonchem v'ayotem mipichem ta'asu. Moshe Rabbeinu switches the order. When they got him, B'nai Ruvain, they say what? That we're going to build houses for our sheds, for our animals, and houses for our family. Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, that's not how we do things here. You don't build a farm for your animal before you make sure that your family is okay. We're going to get back to this Nakuda. But now let's try to break this down a little bit. What is going on here? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that Am Yisrael was going to come back and they were going to have this whole... Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what was going on. He thought that B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven were planning on just staying over there and not helping with the war. And really now Moshe Rabbeinu gets it, and now it's... Moshe Rabbeinu, PLP, he knew everything. So what's going on? What's this back and forth? What's going on? So the first Nakuda, which I think sticks out to us, is this lashon of umikne rav. Mikne rav is something, it's a lashon yechidai. It's not a lashon that we find a lot throughout the Torah, but we do see the lashon of rav in a number of different places. The earliest of places that I can remember is the conversation that Yaakov and Esav has when Yaakov comes back to Eretz Yisrael. Esav meets him on the border, and the conversation is Yaakov brings him all of these things, and Esav says, "Mali kol machanezos, what are all these presents?" Yaakov says, "Take this matana from me." And Esav says, "Vayomer Esav, yesh li rav. Hakov seder, I got a lot. I don't need anything." Yesh li rav achi, yelacha asher lach. Keep whatever you want. I don't need it. Vayomer Yaakov al noim namatzasi chen beinecha v'lakachta minchasi miyadi. No, please take this mincha from me. Ki al kein ra'isi ponecha ki ros pnei Elohim v'tirtzeini. I saw your face. You're like a malach. It's unbelievable. Kach nas birkasi asher huvesi lach. Ki chanani Elohim v'chi yesh li chol. I have what? I have everything. Who had more riches, Yaakov or Esav? I don't know. But in the eyes of the beholder, Esav thought he had Rav. He has so much of an abundance. Yaakov, on the other hand, has the midah of the avos. You see him benching every single day. Bakol mikol kol. Vashem beiraches Abraham bakol. The avos. The midah of the avos is that they had everything that they needed. That was the midah of the avos. Ezu ashiram samech bechelko. He has everything that he needs. He has kol. On the other hand, Esav is a midah of yesh li rav. Do I have kol? Do I have everything that I need? I don't know if I have everything that I need, but I have an abundance. I have a whole lot of things. You ask me exactly what I have. Yaakov, it's a big Indian. Jewish people are accountants. Why? Because they have to, they get every number. They know exactly. You ask a goy, what's going on? He doesn't know. I don't know. My tax is this. You ask a Jew, what's going on with your taxes? You can tell him, this kind of tax, federal taxes. We know how to get around the taxes. The goy, they have no idea what's going on. Because Yishli Rav, I don't know. I give it to my accountant. I give it to the Jew to work out. Because he knows. But Li Yish Rav. So I was watching today. I hope this is okay. I was watching today. Charles Barkley. He was having an interview with some guy, and in the beginning of his in the beginning of his career, this is something that happens to a lot of rookies, is they go out, they have like, they get their $5 million contract or whatever it is, and they go and they buy like six cars. So Charles Barkley said that he went out and he bought six cars. And Julius Erving, at the time, was mentoring Charles Barkley a little bit. And he went to Charles Barkley and he said, I was at your house, I saw your garage, you have six cars. How many cars can you drive at the same time? So Charles Barkley said, I could drive one car at the same time, but I want six. Julius Erving gave him like a strong musser. He said, go take the five cars back, you need one car. Get a fancy car, get a Lamborghini, get whatever you want. What do you need six cars for? You're not even married. You don't even have a girlfriend. What do you need all the cars for? The Bechina of Rav is like, it doesn't even matter how much it is. It's just a lot. Right? The Avos had the Midah of Kol. Later on in history, we see this. I'm mamish, guys, for the rest of your lives, when you're going to learn Chumash, you're going to learn Nevi'im, mamish, this comes up everywhere. I'll give you another example. By Haman and Mordechai, we see that this comes up as well. Is that Haman literally has everything in the world. He has everything in the world. Everything that he wants. But what? Kol od Mordechai omeid bebeis hamelech. What's the lashon over there, Rabbosai? V'chol zeh einena shaveli. V'chol zeh, this kol that they speak about, like this, hamesamech v'chelko. No. That's not me. That's for that. That's what poor people say. Hasameach bechelko. A rav person sees like the world, and he wants abundance. So what we see over here by Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven is even before they get into Eretz Yisrael, they pervert from Derech Avos. They say Mikne Rav. We have a lot of sheep. And Moshe Rabbeinu sees that. And he says, what are you doing? What's going on? I get to, Baruch Hashem, I get to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's a big schus. Every summer I come to America for, about 2 months to spend in Camp Masora. And I love America. Mamish. Alicia, Ashrecha, Polar Seltzer, just made it to Eretz Yisrael. It's not cold, so I can't drink it. It has to be Rishas cold for me to drink it. There's something amazing about America. What's amazing about America is you can go into a Costco and you can buy a ketchup bottle. It'll last you a whole year. The whole year. It's a bechina of like Rav. You know, the closest thing that we have in Eretz Yisrael is like Osherad. It's like a bush of a cherpa. Like, what is Osherad? My sister lives in Tom's River, which is like the Spitz version of Lakewood. Or not the Spitz, whatever. She lives down a block from Simcha Liner. Anyways, they have an Osherad in Lakewood. And I'm like, guys, what do you need Osherad for? You have Glatt Gourmet. Gourmet Glatt. I don't know, whatever you have. You have Seasons. You have all these places. I went into the store. Mamish, I was blown away. I've never seen such. It was like a Walmart of kosher rest. It was like they had everything. They cut up cucumbers for you. The Torah that I always like to say is before Pesach, you can go into the kosher supermarket and you can get salt water. It's like a bechina of like, you know, like you take water, pour some salt into the water, and that's it. But no, we can't do Yeshli Rav, Mikne Rav. Like, and that's the problem a little bit. The problem a little bit, and Chevra, this is why I said that during the 3 weeks we have to think about this a little bit. Is Alma Avda Aretz, this is even like, this is before Am Yisrael even makes it to Eretz Yisrael. Like, this isn't like a chiddush of like the 21st century in America. This is like old issues. These are old problems. The Jews in the Midbar, they had everything that they needed. They had everything that they had the month. Finally, they start to taste a little bit what Mikne Rav feels like, and they can't go in. So that's the first avoda. The first avoda, it doesn't matter where you're living, is that we have to be able to live a life of kol. Yeshli kol, I have everything that I need. I'm gonna rant a little bit. I hope it's okay. So everyone, the boys in Shalvin know that I don't drive a Lexus. I drive a Mazda 2006. Zichrono Livracha. I lent it out to a friend of mine, and he totaled it this week. Mamish, full loss. But it was really a bracha in hitting, because like whatever the insurance company is going to pay, it's going to be like twice whatever the car was worth. It's amazing. But like, you could live here, like, I hope this is okay. It's not recorded. In Kamasura, so we have, in Kamasura it happens in Cape Kelly also, it's all good. Is someone recording?
You're recording.
Okay, it's all good, whatever, it doesn't matter. We have a parking lot for Teslas. There's like 16 Teslas there. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with Teslas. In Eretz Yisrael, I remember they made this satire TV show. It's called Eretz Nehederet. And there was a tkufa. It's calmed down a little bit ever since sort of like the beginning of this. The tech world in Israel is like unbelievable. Mamish, you know, like my brother went to Columbia Dental School. Okay, he went to Columbia Dental School, probably $250,000, you know, in dentistry. He came to Israel, he came to Eretz Yisrael. Very hard for him, so he took a 6-month course in coding, and he's making like 5 times the amount of that he was than making a dentist. So like in Eretz Yisrael, you can make a lot of money in the tech world. So my brother-in-law, and it's crazy, he took this 6-month course, he didn't even go to college, like he didn't even go to college for coding. And there was a machlokas, I'm not making this up, machlokas, he was debating between two different companies, and everyone was matching each other's thing. And so one of them said, we'll give you a Tesla. I'm not kidding. The other company said, we'll give you 2 Teslas. He said, I already have a car. I don't need 2 Teslas, but I'll take it. So the first avoda, Rabbi Yisai, is being able to live a little bit of a life of a kol and not a mikne rav. But we'll move a little bit to the second idea. And that's the second idea, is priorities. It's not only about how much money you have and how much you have, but it's the way only people who have mikne rav can have such, and maybe what I'm saying is not really true, but people who have mikne rav have a much harder challenge in figuring out what their priorities are. Only B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain can make such a slip to say we're going to set up houses for our sheep and our cattle. It just clearly shows you, right, as Rashi says, Chasim al mimonam yoter mibneihem. They cared more about their money than their children. And all of us here, we're all in Kolal. It's amazing. We probably all think, like, what, Rishayim? But Lamaisa, many of us are going to go into certain industries at some point or another, and we're going to have to sacrifice family time. And we're going to have to ask ourselves, am I going into A? Am I going into B? Am I going into C? And A might be, you know, investment banking, where you're going to be working 17 hours a day, and you see your kids maybe on Shabbos. You're too tired to get to shul. But don't worry, I'm going to send my kids to the best camps. I'm going to get, because I'm not going to have any time to learn with my kid, I'm going to get him a more prati. I'm going to get him the best Rebbe, To make sure that someone's learning with him. That's also priorities error. That's also an issue, right? We have to know, we have to be very careful, be very, very careful about how sometimes we can let our mikne rav sort of blind us in where we want to go in life, what matters to us really. What matters to us really? And the truth is that it happens to be that it's much more difficult in America. Just happens to be, you know, like I speak to my friends that are, you know, just around my age. I'm very young. I'm only 29. I have friends that are just a few years, a bunch of years out of college, and they're working very, very hard. And I don't know what the number is, but so, you know, like the people like to speak about, like the number that you have to be able to be making, a family needs to be making. in order to like not be considered poor in our communities, it's like, I don't know what it is. What is it? $200,000? $250,000? What's the number? It's something like that. You live in Northwood here. Whatever it is, it's like three times that in Northwood. I don't know. But also, depending on like where do we want to choose? Like what kind of place are we going to live in? I know most of the chaver here are in town, and it's like a machala. It's a machala of like we can't like leave our comfort zones a little bit. But like Detroit's not so bad, you know. I forget the Aliyah pitch we can leave for another time. But like it's okay because if things matter to us and it's not only about Mikneh Rav and it's not only keeping up with the Joneses and with the and watching out with whatever is going on and getting the next thing and the next this and the next that, so then we'll be a little bit okay. So our priorities. There's a chilling midrash which Rashi hints to a little bit. Says Kena Tamotzev Ibnei Gad Ibnei Ruvain Shayu Ashirim Vehayalahem Mikne Gadol Vechavevu Es Mimonam Vyashulahem Chutz Meretz Yisrael Lefikach Galut Chila Mikol Hashvatim. So I know it's not our strong point in our yeshivas is not Limud Tanakh, but there's a sefer, it's called Divrei Hayamim, and in that sefer, so there's a description of what happens at the end of the Golus of the Aseres Hashvatim. And over there it says that Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven were the first ones to go. They were the first ones to go. Were they the first ones to go, or were they never there? So remember, I was bothered by this. I asked Rav Tversky this question. I was an NCSY Kollel when I was a young bacher. Still a young bacher, but I hope. And I remember I asked Rav Tversky this question. Like, were they ever really there? Were they ever really there? So in the Svarim HaKdoshim, in some of the Kabbalistic works, I found in the Talei Chaim, he quotes from a number, from the Leshem and from others, that the reason that the Beis HaMikdash, HaRishon, didn't stand was because Am Yisrael Shivtei Ka never really went in. There was never Shleimus HaAretz. There's never Shleimus HaAretz. So Mimela, they weren't in. So I remember asking Rav Tversky this question. He said, you have to modify the question because really we know that Eber HaYarden also has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. But it's clear a little bit from here. And although the Pasuk says that that's also Nachlas Hashem, see, the Midrash is saying that part of the reason why they were the ones to go first was because they were the ones that they questioned. They questioned whether our priorities matter, what matters more to us. Let's try to connect this a little bit to Birkas Kohanim. So I don't know if you guys, I imagine that you've mentioned this sugya a little bit of the difference between Birkas Kohanim and Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. So there's a number of, I hope it's okay if I finish a few minutes early. There are a number of shitos as to why the minhag developed in Chutz La'aretz not to say Birkas Kohanim every single day, even though that mistama it's probably a mitzvah d'oraisa. I'm sure you guys discussed. So the famous, there's the Agur, which the Beis Yosef already quotes that there was a minhag that the Kohanim would go to the mikveh every single day, and it was very cold in Poland, and therefore the Kohanim weren't able to go to the mikveh every single day. They weren't able to break through the ice, right? And then the most famous shita is the one which the Darchei Moshe brings down, the Ramah brings down, Mahalacha, was that Am Yisrael was tarud in their parnasa too much. Now, they were tarud in their parnasa too much. What does that mean? Like, when was the last time like being tarud in our parnasa like gives us a heter to what? To like, don't do, like, we're not going to do this mitzvah. So now, I'm not speaking in terms of halacha, but I'm speaking in terms of just trying to, is this also a symptom? It's a symptom of Mikneh Rav. It's a symptom of Am Yisrael is just so, they're so tarud in their parnasa that they couldn't tap into birchas Kohanim. They couldn't tap into Birchas Kohanim. Now, I'll tell you, I don't know, Rabbi Leibowitz, if you've seen this, but I saw this makor and I was mamish blown away. I'm going to read it to you. It's from the Eretz HaTzvi. The Eretz HaTzvi brings down, he has like 15 or 16 reasons. You guys saw this? 15 or 16 reasons as to why there's no Birkas Kohanim in Chutz La'aretz. And he says like this. The Gemara in Shavuos, we learn that a shikur is pater mitfilah. Right? That someone who's drunk is pater mitfilah, and therefore also that's why we don't do Birkas Kohanim by milcha, right? Because we're choshesh that the guy had a beer by lunch. Right? So we don't want people that are shikur to be saying Birkas Kohanim. So he says like this. V'kevan de'ikr shichrus hagalus humachmas bilbul hadas imkein beyantehiv shuzman simchas alev mistalik bilbul hadas shel hagalus v'efshar lisa kapayim. Peladika thing. What is he saying? He's saying throughout the year, what happens? Throughout the year, we're in this shichrus. We're mamish drunk by golos. We are like living through the world with such a bilbul hadas. We have no idea what's right, what's left, what's rav, what's kol. We're so tarred in our parnasa that we can't see the bracha. We can't tap into birchas kohanim. But on yontiv we can. On yontiv, although some of the chevra pointed out that on yontiv we have mitzvah of yayin and bus of yayin. I'm not sure how that exactly works out, that you're not shikur. But anyways, the point is that there's this bilbul hadas. And I think a little bit throughout the 3 weeks, throughout the 9 days, we have to question ourselves. We have to question where our motivations are at, right? These tzomos, the tzomos are not only to think about the Churban HaBayis, but they're also to think about, like, what is my place? Like, what am I doing to get closer to that geula? What am I getting? How am I getting closer a little bit to that binyan beis hamikdash? And I think what a prerequisite before we even get to the religious sides of the binyan beis hamikdash and the korbanos, etc., it's just getting our priorities set. Like, what matters to us? What matters to us? Because although many of us will say once again, many of us will say that Chas v'Shalom, I would never put my money in front of our family, but it's challenging. So even as a Rebbe, sometimes I put my money in front of my family. It's hard. It's very, very difficult. But it's a time a little bit to be thinking about trying to get some clarity. Listening to, I don't know if you guys see this, but there's amongst the annoyance of many WhatsApp statuses, there are those that are taka very nice. So Rabbi Yaakov Klein, a good friend of mine, started this thing in London called Eilecha. Have you seen that? Has anyone seen that? The Eilecha. He's an American guy. It's very weird. It's an American guy. He went to London and has like taken over like the London from world with like all these Malacha Malkas and Fabringans, and like he's a big Talmud of Weinberger. And so he sends out these videos. He sends out these videos every single day throughout the 3 weeks about Bechal, what should we be thinking about. And Rav Berg did a video, I think, 2 days ago. And Rav Berg just pointed out that a little bit part of the issue, what's going on in the 3 weeks, is that it's very hard for us to like to be sad over something that we never really experienced. And part of what we should really be thinking about is that how sad is it that we don't know what to be sad about? Right? How sad is it that bechal we have no like achiza, we don't really know what we're missing. That itself could get us sad. That itself should make us sad a little bit. So bimkom that, we have to not only be sad, but we also have to think about tikkun. We have to think about tikkun, living a life of kol, not living a life of rav. I give us all a bracha emir tzashem, that we should be zocha to Birkos Kohan, and we should be zocha that not only on Yontiv do we have the clarity and we do not have the bilbul hadas, but we have behirus hadas, that we have clarity, we have klarkeit in our lives. Tzashem, should be zocha to binyan bayis. This is Mehrev Yameinu. Shkoyach.